Jones and Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, when is it appropriate to culturally appropriate? And what group of people could bring America to its knees if it ever went on strike?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones's favorite time of the year when you can flex your Irish muscles. Do you love March?
I do love March. I love the change of season. I do love that it gets greener out there.
Yeah.
I love it. My people's annual time of year to puff out their chest, be proud, tip a few back.
You do love it.
And I also love that this is the time of year that begs the question.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my mind.
Yeah.
What is so inappropriate about cultural appropriation?
Well, I don't understand. What do you mean?
Cultural appropriation. It's like the hot button topic.
Yeah.
Over these last several months.
But how in the lens of, oh.
Well, you're looking at, well, this is St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh.
We can spell it out here. This is St. Patrick's Day, the time of year where everybody kind of goes in to their closet and they pull out their Irish walking caps.
That's right.
Then they put on their little fake beards or they wear a kilt. Yes, they wear a little kilt.
We all play our Dropkick Murphys record.
Play some Dropkick Murphys, of course.
The one song from these guys.
And this is also the time of, and everyone goes around wearing green, even though St. Patrick's color is blue.
I didn't know that.
That's true.
Interesting.
It's always been something to me that has just driven me crazy.
Uh-huh.
That there are Irish out there, Irish that I know, whether they're Irish Americans or born and raised in Ireland, now living in the United States,
yeah,
who become very upset with kind of the garishness that Americans pursue St. Patrick's Day.
They do? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hate St. Patrick's Day.
Well, it really becomes a thing. Why do you hate St. Patrick's Day?
Because this is all there is. It's just this song and a bunch of, you know, clowns down like, oh, they're dying the river, and then everyone getting hammered. And it used to be, growing up in Chicago, it used to be that the big thing was the South Side Irish Parade.
Right.
Which I never went to, but every year it was just Donnybrooks and, you know, kids walking around drinking openly in the streets, and it was like
debauchery.
No, I always thought that, like, that's so embarrassing. Like, the whole thing is, like, embarrassing. I never ever gravitated toward this holiday.
That's amazing to me that you didn't gravitate towards the holiday when you're 15, 6, like,
I know.
15 through 25.
Because I was already living that lifestyle. I didn't need a day out of the year to walk around drinking.
Day to be, like, out in the open.
To be, like, to fit in.
I mean, it's, yeah.
To blend into the background.
Yeah, to finally not be a freak. And that's fine if you don't like the holiday.
Who's this 11-year-old who's drunk?
That's certainly her call.
That was the one day for me to be the 11-year-old that was drunk, and
right.
It wasn't going to stand out.
And you've passed on this, and that's fine.
Yeah, there was just something about it, like the Kiss Me, I'm Irish. I mean, I guess I took part when I was a kid, but I never... And you know what? A big part about a holiday for me is the food. And the food that Americans have ascribed to the Irish, I believe wrongly, is this stinky, you know, ass-smelling food that's not... I didn't smell any of that nonsense in Dublin. Like,
right.
It was... Like, I never have eaten better than my weekend in Dublin.
There are great restaurants over there, but I get it. This is not your time of year. This isn't necessarily your festivity that you want to dive headlong into.
Right, and I'm intrigued by this notion that, like, your dad, I guess, or people in your family that were from Ireland, they also hated this holiday?
No. What my point was that I know people... Irish Americans and Irish who have immigrated to the United States who look at this day and they see the garishness in how Americans choose to celebrate the day, and they become fabulously offended by it. And it was always something that kind of stuck in my craw, where I was like, well, what if nobody paid attention to this day at all and completely ignored you? I can only imagine that there would have been this woe is me feeling of, oh,
right,
marginalized again, forgotten again. So it's this time of year where I look around, I see the cultural appropriation of my culture,
yeah,
and I can't wrap my mind around why other cultures become so offended,
yeah,
when they see someone who is not of that culture participate.
Well, I'm shocked by this because I look around and I don't see Irish culture. I see like a cartoonish characterization of it. Like, okay, so when we would go to Gaelic Park for, you know, Irish Fest or whatever, like I haven't gone in years since I moved away from the South Side. I'm assuming you still go or you have gone in recent years?
To Gaelic Park?
Yeah, for their like festival where there's boots and there's, you know.
I kind of.
And like every year Black 47 plays.
Right.
It's like the thing. The one Irish band plays and then a bunch of like traditional Irish. And like that scene seems more like a celebration of Ireland. Whereas, you know. And I have not been to the family-friendly version of the Southside Irish Parade, because that might actually have that same feel. Have you been to Western Avenue in recent years?
No, I have not.
Okay. Like, I guess in my mind, I still picture it like the year, you know, the old times, when it was like people barfing on the side of the road and just like craziness.
Well, that's people being drunk, and I understand that. But I'm talking about the cultural appropriation from men going out into the city wearing a kilt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I cannot really see the offense to be taken from that. And I can't imagine what anyone could really do. Let's say some German-American that is going, it's St. Patrick's Day! Put green beads on, a green sweater.
Right.
I'm going to put on my walking cap that's got the weird tufts of orange hair sticking out of it and a kilt. And become so fabulously offended, as though what they're doing is somehow about me or my parents or where my people, quotes, are from.
Right.
And it's from this point I kind of look out to other cultures, and I would love to know what is so offensive about the millennial who walks around Coachella in an Indian headdress.
You're right. So you're just saying, like, why can't everyone be like the Irish, where they... Like, it's not for me. I don't really participate in it, but none of it pisses me off.
Well, no. But I know of people where they get upset by that, and they feel, and I feel like it's more of a me moment where they're like, I really know about the culture. So this is how I'm going to tell it to you, by finding outrage where nobody else would find outrage.
Right.
And then I look at other things, for example, like, I previously had mentioned, like, the Native American headdress.
Right.
Don't understand why that's offensive. You see, like, Nick Cannon. Have you seen Nick Cannon, the comedian? He goes around, he tries to sell turbans. He looks like an idiot. Yeah. But I don't see what's so wildly offensive about it.
Oh, people are giving him a hard time for doing the turbans?
Well, they say he looks ridiculous and he should stop. Now, he does look ridiculous, but I don't know. Like, what's so offensive about it?
There's no question. Like, his, like, very aggressive black, like, poems, Stern plays them all the time.
Right, yes.
I love it with the bongos and stuff.
They are great. My mind on a dime.
Oh,
crime
yeah.
Crime all around me.
Like, so, like, angry, his his diatribes.
It's funny, and you saw he lost his gig over at America's Most Got Talent.
He did?
Yes.
Over those?
No, he was on Howard Stern, and he made some comments about how he's going to do this comedy special, and he's not going to be America's Got Talent Nick. He wants to be his authentic self, and he feels caged when he's on America's Got Talent. And then it got back to NBC, and they're like, well, if you don't want to be here, you're gone.
Oh, no.
And it was funny because for years, Stern has always warned him, like, dude, you're you're working too much. You do these weird things where you're like America's, you know, you're like America's MC, friendly, funny guy, but then you want to be a rebel and then you want to do the spoken word. He's like, you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's finally happened.
Oh,
but,
no.
But not, at least I will say, not over the turban, the urban turban. So that's a
positive. Is that what he's calling him?
No, I think that's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, that's right.
No, it's not a Seinfeld reference. That was the urban sombrero. My cousin Steve wanted to come out with a line of urban turbans. That's what it was. And I tried to help him with it. And I was like, well, no one's just going to buy a turban. But if you like went to the NFL and got like a licensing agreement to come up with like a turban, like a Bears turban, a Miami Dolphins turban, a New Orleans Saints turban, I actually spent 34 minutes with him trying to figure out how that would
34
work.
Minutes, exactly.
But he wanted to.
In honor of sweetness.
Urban turban.
And then what ended it? I mean, talk about a twosome. You and him, a terrible twosome.
No, that's his idea, and that was...
Well, right, but you were helping him? Like,
I talked to him.
Sounds like it should have taken off. You've gotten things done. You've gotten shows on A&E. You're a getter-dunner.
I know. So that's for him to get it done, and it didn't. I'm not worried about it. I just said there, well, hey, here's an idea for you. And then, like, most napkin ideas, it just...
Oh, no. And now it's out there. He's going to be so pissed. Like, he's... In the back of his mind, he's like... Someday I'm going to do the Bears turbans.
Yeah, I don't see
that
happening.
The Bearbins.
I don't see that happening.
No?
But, you know, the other thing, though, about this cultural appropriation thing that has me thinking is, what is it like to be from a cultural where nobody appropriates you?
Right. Like, you're just so pathetic. No one even wants to copy you.
Nobody wants to be a Congo
mimic
dandy.
You. Yeah, I know. But are there Like I'm trying to think of an ethnicity that isn't cartoonishly lampooned at some point. Like, I thought we all go through it at some point. And then, but some of us choose to feign, you know, outrage, and others don't. And some really embrace it. Like the Irish. Nobody embraces their lampooning like the Irish Jones. What ethnicities aren't cartoonishly lampooned, and why can't they all be like the Irish? We'll talk about that next on Jones of Mike. Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Jones and Mike, this is the version of Whiskey in a Jar I think most people would be familiar with. I like the Thin Lizzy version, Jones.
Do you think more people would be familiar with the Metallica version?
This version, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed that. I would figure it would still be Thin Lizzy, would still reign supreme.
Well, in my book, it does. I must confess, the first time I heard the song, it was this version. And then I went, I have to know, there's no way these buffoons were writing this song.
Right.
Where did these lyrics come from? And then I was like, oh, they came from Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. And then someone went, no, it actually, they were copying. And then my mind was blown. It was like looking into a mirror while I was looking into a mirror. And then I just gave up the hunt. You probably were singing the old version when you were a child. in your house.
It was that was the one that was played, the Dubliners.
The Dubliners, yes. So you, because you're authentically Irish, so you're the real deal, and I am like kind of faux Irish, where I'm still, I guess, like my DNA is Irish. And then there's the there are the people that just put on the buttons. And like, so there was a chippy in my office who, you know, was leaving work early the other day. And I'm like, where are you going? She's like, I got to go buy some Irish shirts. We're going on a booze trolley for St. Patrick's Day. And we're going to get all dotted up, like with, you know, like themed flasks and shillelaghs and all of this stuff. And I guess she's got hot friends. So my mind immediately danced to how incredibly hot that trolley is going to be. But, like, not any part of me flashed, like, anger. Like, what the hell's that all about? That's how you celebrate my people? By going on a booze trolley? Like, not even one ever, you know, little tiny instant do I ever feel that way. But, like, other cultures, they can't wait to be angry about this stuff.
Well, I don't think it's I don't think it's other cultures. Because people of Irish descent do get offended by this. I think it's something that people have inside their brains where there is this self-importance of wanting of having a reason to put themselves out in front of other people and to be able to kind of do the finger wagging thing of like, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you are doing? And it's one of those things where I can't wrap my mind around it. Why would that be so offensive? You would think, like, if you were Mexican, wouldn't it be great to see people genuinely walking around in sombreros?
Yeah, right on. No, I think that, then you're really taking your life in your hands if you were to do that.
Someone would get upset and react.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bother with it, right? Feels like it's an undue, risk to take.
No, that could very well be. That could very well be. But it got me to thinking, like, okay, is there a culture out there where you can present? And it was a real struggle as I was thinking, because I was going down the line and I thought, man, is there something culturally where nobody really will touch that? The only thing I can think of is, like, Arabic Islamic cultures. People I don't think would ever jokingly wear a hijab or dress. Well, people dress up like sheiks and stuff for Halloween.
Yeah, I remember.
But there's
something
about dressing up like an Islamic woman if you're faking the funk.
Yeah, I must confess, when I went to get a pack of cigarettes at a gas station, when I was dressed in my Iran soccer jersey with a pillowcase wrapped around my head, the dude behind the counter didn't seem to appreciate it. This was years ago. This was the year that Andy went as like a 76% chance of humidity or something.
Right, yes.
Like maybe the best costume of all time.
Right, yes.
And you went as like a ninja.
Yes, I did go as a ninja. That was my ninja year.
Broads. You had the greatest Halloween ever.
It was a good Halloween. It was a good Halloween.
Yeah.
The thing, though, about your Halloween costume, though, was it was confusing as to what culture that you were appropriating.
Mocking, right.
Because, I mean, Iranians, well, I guess I'm not thinking of, it would have been like in the soccer jersey and then the turban. Then you don't really look like any kind of.
And it was clearly a pillowcase. The pillowcase, when you're trying to mock someone else's culture or ape it or whatever, you just can't use a pillowcase. I think you got to go real. I think I should have had the bear's turban for that.
Had they made them. But that's the only one that I can think of where people would just go, no, I'm not touching that. But even then, I think it would be more out of fear in terms of reacting. What are the yarmulke?
Sure.
That would be another one that I couldn't ever see people just going, yeah, I'm just going to wear it. It's my thing now.
Yeah, no question.
So far we've come up with two.
Yeah, I don't know.
Orthodox,
I mean, it just feels like
no one would, for fun, dress like an Orthodox Jewish
person. Or Hasidic. No one's doing the curly sideburns.
No one would dress for fun like a Hasidic Jewish person or an Islamic woman. So we've come up with two.
dude, just anything out of the norm. I had a fedora on a little while ago, and you were like taken aback by it.
Yeah, but we're talking about cultural appropriation.
Well, I know, but just anything. Well, I understand, but like you're talking about, like, oh, I think it's cool when dudes wear kilts on St. Patrick's Day, and just like someone somewhere is going to be offended by anything. No, it seems like that's a new American pastime. The new American pastime is finding, and that's why we exist, to call that out. So anything dealing with, I think, Jews, Muslims, blacks, off limits.
No, I don't think so. You could wear a, no, I think you could wear a dashiki. I've seen people, other people.
Really?
Will get, I don't I think like you would to have do to that. Work in, I don't think you would have to.
I would go straight up Craig Hodges all the time. If I could.
Yeah, but that, there used to be a thing. Like, I remember once Justin Timberlake went to, like, an awards show wearing a dashiki.
Really?
Like, when he was still in NSYNC. He wore a dashiki.
Oh, man, when he still had the white popcorn hair.
And yeah, people made, like, a big deal about it. But you will see, like, for example, wasn't that a couple of years ago at San Francisco State? There was some white kid who had dreadlocks, and he was attacked basically by a black female student who was accusing him of cultural appropriation, saying, "Why do you wear dreads? That's for my people." And she recorded it, and people kind of ripped her for it. And moreover, it's something that I think people need to look back on. Like, ancient Greeks used to have dreads. Vikings used to have dreads.
Wait,
like,
wait, the Greeks had dreadlocks?
Yeah, the Greeks, if you go back in time, the Greeks, there were Greeks that used to wear, like, rope their hair and have them in dreads.
No
Vikings,
way.
Vikings used to do dreads.
No
So it wasn't
kidding.
Just uniquely, it wasn't just, we have this idea that it was launched by black people, but it was
actually, really all dirty cultures. People who did not want to bathe, their hair just knotted all up.
But see, I think you still see examples of someone culturally appropriating black or African culture. Never the Congo dandies, as I mentioned. But outside of that, I can only think of Hasidic Jewish people and Islamic women.
This dashiki disclosure, henceforth to be called the dashiki disclosure, that's blowing my mind. Like, that would be my I want to be in velvet all the time outfit.
Would you?
If I could.
You wouldn't dare.
That and the Filipino, like the barong shirts.
What is that?
Or whatever. Not, yeah, I think they're called barongs.
What are they?
The Filipino shirts that are similar to your Cuban shirt.
Which is awesome.
But they're like long sleeve typically when they're very fancy. They're called barong.
And is it just
tagalongs?
It just has like one row of buttons down the center.
Dude,
that's more of an Indian thing.
Like, there's like here's an example of one, if you could see that. Like, they're real ornate sometimes, but
yeah,
sometimes they're kind of like cash. And like, there, it looks almost like a mosquito net over the arms. And I'm not a big fan of that,
right.
But they have like little tiny holes. They're made out of linen, just like your Cuban shirt. Well, and I could go for one of that.
What would you? Okay, so that's something you would appropriate.
Totally.
I remember like 20 years ago when David Beckham went out in public wearing a sarong. I was like, that kind of looks cool. I would like to go out in a sarong, but I think you really have to be good looking like David Beckham to do it.
If I were, they would have to call it the sarong.
What's the thing, the Filipino thing you just said?
A barong.
So you would go with
tagalog.
A barong. You'd like to go with a barong. I would like to go with a sarong. You would also like to appropriate. I'm just trying to think, like, come up with a list of things where I would look from the outside and go, I would totally like to appropriate that. I would like to, if like went to concerts, I would like to wear a sombrero if I didn't think they were so heavy. They just look incredibly.
But they're made out of like wicker heavy. Though. Like, you Riot Fest, that you should have a Riot Fest sombrero, bro. You know that somebody would like take that though. Like, I don't think people would be cool around the sombrero.
Why don't we test it this year?
Hey, yeah, I mean, what's the worst?
Now, would you ever, okay, would you honestly ever pull the trigger on one of the dashiki or the barong? Would you do it?
Of course I'm going to sit here and say yes, but until I actually do it, who knows? I have a tough time wearing the fedora in public. It's not really my thing, I don't think. But okay, we're playing cards, so tonight's a fedora night.
I got it. But publicly, you cannot think of something that you would appropriate.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just really out of my cultural bailiwick where people are going to go like, that's not for you.
I know, but that's the point. Isn't there something that you should be seeing where you go, I like that and I want that and I don't care what other people are going to say. It's not offensive. It's not like you're going out there in blackface. It's not like you're going out there in some kind of Nazi wear.
But so, you know, we're sitting here and we're debating whether or not there is a cultural appropriation, you know, barrier and all this stuff. Is it possible that really ethnic groups don't really get angry about this stuff? That it's more of a media-driven thing?
No.
Have you ever witnessed someone being upset because someone was, quote-unquote, culturally appropriating something? I mean, I'm only around like whiteies who don't do anything, so who never even step out of bounds at all. So I don't see this kind of stuff. In the city, you might see, you know, a more diverse crowd.
Well, with regard, I can only go my personal experience. I can speak to Irish and Irish Americans getting upset when they see Americans diving in headlong this time of year to what they think is Irish. And that is, you know, so I've seen it. I've absolutely seen it. But to think that it's just, I don't think it's just a media thing, because I think more and more people were starting to get a mindset of, well, what offends me? And I'm going to let you know about it.
Yeah, like I've heard Italians get, you know, PO'd about like mob movies. They don't like that mob movies have become like the...
I could understand that.
Yeah. Like our lens of Italian culture.
And that I can understand. That I can understand more than becoming upset of someone going out there and dressing in like traditional Italian wear. Whatever that would be.
Sure.
But if you were Italian and everyone ignored all the great artists that had come from Italy, you know, I could see where that would be something that would be frustrating. And yet when it comes to participating in art, everyone is willing to dive in headlong to The Godfather.
Right.
I could see where that would be offensive.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's a media thing, because this week, are you aware of the Pioneer Woman? I'm praying and hoping you're not.
No.
So she's like on Food Network, and like her whole thing is like making like meat and stuff.
Okay.
So like, and I think she does live in like the backwaters of like Wyoming or something with her old man. And she's kind of creepy, but she makes good stuff. Before we cut the cable cord here, my old lady watched a lot of The Pioneer Woman. And she got up, you know, in a kerfluffle this week over this clip that I guess Asians had a problem with, where she... Yeah, she presents this to the family.
No. Where
are the other ways?
Where's the real ones?
Where's the real ones?
They smell good.
Yeah, look at them. They're turning their nose up at...
I'm just kidding, guys. I wouldn't do that to you.
And she pulls, like, real wings out, and they're like, you know, huzzah. White trash, huzzah. And so I guess Asian groups had a problem with this clip this week, and now Food Network is under fire to, like, pull the clip and la, la, la. And it's like, well, really?
Well, what's offensive about it?
Asian wings are good enough for your family? They turn their nose up at it because they're Asian? And that's where I go, like, well, that's not real. There's no way that's real. There's really some dude from Korea who's sitting there, like, writing a letter to Food Network demanding that clip be brought down. So I start to wonder if this stuff isn't media-driven. And it's all over the place. You look for this story online, it's on a million websites.
No,
the minute it's on one website, it's on a million websites. So it's, like, a trending.
I get where it can grow because of the trending issue of it. Or, you know, we've talked about this several times where something can hit that mythical level of going viral, but we don't really know definitively what that means.
Right.
But I actually do have to say, rather than say it's media-driven, I do think we now live in a culture where people look to be offended. They feel it gives them purpose. And they love to express that. We're now in a culture of the minority, of the ostracized. And I'm not talking about skin color, and I'm not talking about ethnicity. But I think we're now, where it used to be in this country, It was majority ruled. Everybody wanted to be, kind of be in the in crowd. Now everybody wants to be in the disenfranchised crowd. And I think you're now starting to see there's always another letter to add on to the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, what's
and
the
there's
Q?
There's always what queer. Is that?
Queer is now...
I think it just fall, and queer is supposed to encompass...
what?
Pansexualism and gender fluid or whatever it is. I think it may be an attempt by those organizations to be like, okay, let's... Q might put a stop to this... all these letters because it's now starting to get ridiculous. But everybody
they want it to be just the Q community.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking that people want it to be like, okay, LGBTQ. Now, this is it. No more letters after Q because Q is queer and that encompasses everything. That's my... I could be wrong.
Dude, that's like taking the N-word back. That's how they're taking it back, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
Which I kind of dig, but man, like that word... It seems like such a 70s word. I didn't even know people still used it.
It does. But it's one of... Moreover, my point is, we now live in a culture where everybody wants to be disenfranchised. Their child has some struggle that it is going through, and it's a defined struggle, and you're a part of this group. This person that is wearing that dashiki, that's they're trying to say something to me, even though they don't know who I am.
Right.
And I just think it's, moreover, that is what is happening in today's society. We all want to be... disenfranchised. We all want to be the one that is on the
aggrieved.
Outside.
Maybe yes. Aggrieved.
Aggrieved.
We all want to be aggrieved.
Yes. It is the United States of aggrievement.
Meanwhile, like the poster woman for cultural appropriation, Rachel Dolezal?
Yes.
She's like about to be homeless, I guess.
It's unbelievable. That just...
Which we're all, like, honestly, like, it sounds like most Americans are just a couple of missed paychecks away from being homeless.
Of course.
So that's not that hard to imagine.
It's not, but at the same time, when I see what we are kind of accepting more and more and more in today's society, I'm now more and more and more ever shocked that Rachel Dolezal caught so much hell. If you can choose to be whatever you want to be in this America...
Right.
Like, why can't you just be a white person that goes, I choose to identify as black?
Yeah.
It sounds crazy.
And get the top gig representing black people in this jurisdiction, Spokane, Washington.
But I can come up with crazier things.
Yeah, maybe we need to have Rachel on this show. We need to find a gig for Rachel, actually, because that's ridiculous. I don't want to live in an America where Rachel Dolezal can't call herself black and keep a black... representing job. Jones, how did you spend your International Women's Strike Day?
I spent it wondering what would really ever change if any one group decided that they were just going to strike permanently.
Oh, wow. You were deep in thought. More on that next, Jones and Mike. Hey, it's Mike. Please go to jonesandmike.com/survey and take the 2-minute survey we've put together for you. Trust me, it'll be the most satisfying 2 minutes you have all week. We are remaking Jones and Mike in your image. But to do that, we need your input on what you like, what you don't, and what we could do differently, more often, and better. It only takes 2 minutes, and the survey you take today could change your life tomorrow. Go to www.jonesandmike.com/survey. Thanks. Jones and Mike. Jones, I think I found my dashiki, bro. Look at this. It's a white guy, actually. He's tubby, so I'm a little slimmer, just a little, and I think that could be my dashiki.
I'd love to see it. In fact, I dare you. But you can't just wear it around Naperville. Like, you have to come down to the city.
And then if I rock that, man, there's like a higher class dashiki that brother's sporting.
That's kind of more, that's more of a Congo dandy look.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And it's kind of Yeah, he wears it well. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off. Did you see Muhammad Ali Jr. got harassed at another airport, and he's wearing like a dashiki?
Yeah,
I think it's the dashiki. Honestly, it's not his name. It's this, like, kind of weird, aggressive, like you're just basically saying, like, this is something foreign to most Americans. I insist on wearing this beacon so all of you stare at me, including you, close-minded $9.25 earning TSA agents. They're probably not the most cultured folks.
I know.
So what do you... Just wear a white polo when you fly, man. Could we all just wear white and just have slip-off shoes and just get on with it?
Well, I think you might be asking too much on that one, but I also really still don't believe this Ali guy's story. There's no way that people see what his name is and their next question isn't Ali? Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
And that they're now curious about you. I just don't... I think there's something there.
Like, you think that he is, like, a rebel-rouser causing problems and looking for the first? Because, I mean, I always insist on being frisked.
I just don't buy his
story. I don't make a big deal out of it. You know, when it takes too long, I get kind of antsy. Like, come on, dude. Like, after about 5 to 10 minutes, I start to be like, come on, I want to get my pat down. Let's go. Like, don't make me stand here all day. I know I'm being a bit of a problem, but, like, don't make me more of a problem.
Yeah, I just don't.
I feel like he's doing that, and he's then throwing a fit. And then they're like, okay, cool. Why don't you go sit over there in that glass room for an hour and think about it, buddy? So he's just being a jag, I think, on some level.
That's kind of more where I lean.
Okay. This week I got into work, bro, and I didn't even realize I was wearing black. Faux pas. I was supposed to wear red to work on Wednesday, because that was International Women's Day. Did you wear red? Did you know about this?
If I wore red, it was coincidental. I don't recall.
You don't even know.
I did not have it marked on my calendar.
Hey, I never heard of this. I guess it was something that originated in the United States, but has really taken off overseas. Like, I guess in Europe, this is like a fairly big deal.
Women's Day?
Yeah. International Women's Day. You're supposed to support women's rights issues and celebrate them and what have you. But here in America now, it's like taking a back seat, and it's been kind of hijacked, it feels like, by feminists, because the email that alerted me to this at my very, you know, leftist, honestly, workplace was calling it International Women's Strike Day. And this was the email I got. Hi, Chicagoans. If you plan to be in the office today, I love that. If you plan to be in the office today, like some people literally striked on this day, I encourage all of you, me and women, this was a woman writing this, to do a few things to support International Women's Strike Day. One, wear red to work day. Two, abstain from participating in the economy. Parentheses, don't buy anything. I work in a workplace where we're all fairly stupid, so it's a good thing she spelled that out. Number three, set your out of office and signature to something like, quote, I am in the office, but am still supporting International Women's Strike Day in other ways. If you're not familiar with the strike or why it's necessary, please feel free to ask. Also, don't forget about postcard writing and Civic Action 101 training, where you can sign up. And so I saw that email, and I thought of you immediately. I fired it off to you.
Right.
To get your thoughts.
Well, and I can't understand that a company that would be as powerful and as far-reaching as this company is...
Yeah.
...would also be so encouraging of Marxism among their workers.
Oh, it's Marxist to wear red?
Well, no, but to go out into... Now... Wouldn't you say to go out and protest and strike and not go into work?
It does seem like it's striking at the heart of capitalism, yes.
I mean, that does seem to be very odd. And I don't understand, like, what is the end game for this company to promote this? I never understand what the end game is in general anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you're looking at women's Appreciation Day. Let's double it
well,
all the way
back. Well, it
should
be Women's Appreciation Day.
No. It should not be, and here's why. Why does anyone need to have days where they're completely appreciated? Why are there appreciation days?
Wait, you're just here. You don't like the days when the secretaries get celebrated and we're supposed to buy them stuff?
It's dumb.
Men or women, usually women.
I'll allow Mother's Day and Father's Day and nothing else, because those can be like family holidays. You're kind of battening down the hatches and making family time. Outside of that, it's a waste. Why? It's creating weakness. And I don't care. I'm not saying just specifically the Women's Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
Any appreciation day. You can have celebration days, but when they're expressly for appreciating, that everyone else outside of you is supposed to stop and appreciate you.
Well, hey, man, I'm for it. I don't know how. I love how this company and this movement has somehow taken something that I believe was at one point supposed to be a celebration of women and has bastardized it into this is the day for women to rise up and let's not buy anything so that all their, you know, so they feel our wrath and they feel that we're, you know, we're an integral part of society. It's like I think we've all come to the realization that we all kind of need women.
Well, okay, just
a lot.
Right.
Some more than others. I need them a lot. I absolutely celebrate my wife daily for all that she does and tell her often.
I doubt that.
And I hear that they're still making a few cents less on the dollar. I hear it.
Well, that's a whole other story.
But other
when
than
you
that.
Look a couple weeks back, it was, what was the immigrant... what was that called?
A day without immigrants or something. And like, yeah, they weren't supposed to come to work or buy anything so that everyone would suffer without them.
This seems to be the new trend is to, again, this is among disenfranchisement. A day without women, a day without immigrants. Because that's essentially what people are trying to accomplish with the Women's Appreciation Strike Day. And it just gets me thinking, here's, if any group went on strike... This is, I guess, a thesis statement. If any group went on strike, people would just quickly adjust and everything would be fine. And I think more than having outsiders appreciate you, I think it's more valuable that we all come to understand that. The only group that I could think of where there would be an immediate blowback if all of a sudden they went on strike and then just decided, hey, we're not doing this anymore. The only group where I would think that that would play out, where it would be have a very adverse effect, a noticeable adverse effect, would be men, but that would simply be because of military, police, and fire. Outside of that, if you had a day without immigrants, a day without women, a day without the Irish, a day without Indians, whatever.
The day without Irish.
If you had a day with any of those.
Because I would stay home.
If you would have any of those days, and then that became a committed movement, I think people would be very disappointed to see how quickly the world would move on without you.
Well, I think we've seen that. Like, there was no women striking. I don't think anybody striked.
But the idea
like probably
that,
a few real militant
right,
ones,
you're right.
And you know the one in your life that I'm talking about. They probably stayed home from work. I've heard of people who are claiming they were fired for staying home from work on International Women's Strike Day.
Oh, really? I heard about immigrants being fired
okay.
on Immigration Strike Day or whatever that was.
And that was recently. So it does feel like this is there's a push to bring a lot of these sorts of aggrieved groups to the front of the public consciousness. And we need to fight against that, Jones.
We need to fight against it indeed.
We can't have people striking, whole ethnic groups,
wanting
sexes.
To be appreciated?
Yeah, well, being appreciated, I'm all for, dude. It's the striking.
No.
That's taking the socialistic view to a whole new level.
Private appreciation. I'm all about privatization and private appreciation.
Yeah, your...
Not as public appreciation.
Well, yeah, but your thing where you're saying that people shouldn't... Mother's Day, Father's Day, that's it. I think that's too extreme. That's too
extreme. Name another day. name another day that we should have that's expressly an appreciated day. Valentine's Day. There.
That's it.
With three.
Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. That's it.
Valentine's Day, Father's Day. That's it.
No history months of any kind. No strikes, certainly no strikes, but you're saying that maybe we need to fight fire with fire and have a men's strike day.
No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to be part of that group. I'm just saying if men were to just try to pull a men's strike day and hold the line, it would have a greater effect, but only because of police, military, and fire. Otherwise,
devastating.
People don't need us.
Nobody would recognize it if you didn't show up to work? Come on, dude.
No, nobody would recognize it if you didn't show up to work. That is true.
You're changing lives every day, Jones.
Nobody needs to appreciate this.